having a large concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere, right, has effects on how on weather systems, has effect on climate in certain areas. It's not specifically to do with temperature, which is a point that me and you can agree with. So like, even if I, so that wasn't even the point. That's a straw man argument there, because I wasn't arguing that like the increased temperature is the problem. And you were actually right in distinguishing between global warming, right, and climate change, right? But they're not two completely different things. They have an effect on one another, right? Because climate change, right, is the change of certain climates, which in certain climates, say like in Antarctica, for example, right, it's very cold. If that climate changes, let's say glaciers melt, that can raise the overall global temperature. It's an effect, right? But it isn't the main problem, which is climate change. And so that's one thing I'd want to say.
So let me ask you, Guy. President Biden is talking about executive action to address emergency action to address the issue. You think that that's unnecessary? Is it safe to say that?
Yes. The first thing before you respond to an emergency is to verify that there is one. I mean, at least most people would think that way. And I keep going back to the fact that the world's temperature databases do not indicate that there's been a warming of any of the components of the biosphere, the atmosphere, the land mass, or the oceans. And so, you know, to declare war on the carbon atom, which has been our friend for millennia, and the fossil fuels, which have provided the standard of living for the world, not just the United States, but third world countries that are developing that need electricity, need refrigeration, need air conditioning, you know, to all of a sudden use pseudoscience. And I think an earlier caller made this point, and I make it in my book. When government uses pseudoscience to enact laws or regulations that are supposedly in the common good, but end up eroding personal freedoms, we all lose.
Okay, so
and that's an important point.
So let me respond to that, personal freedoms, and you know, okay. Listen. So science moves forward. And the world moves forward. And, you know, somebody created, you know, a plow. And so people use a plow with a horse to plant, you know, vegetables. We have now moved forward to the tractor. Nobody's going back to the right. Plow. So my point is, fossil fuels had their place and their time. But the world's not going back there. It is moving forward.
And one more thing. So I had looked up UHA, or UAH, sorry, University of Alabama in Huntsville, and their map.
Temperature database.
Yeah, the temperature database. Yeah, and it says that ever since post-2016, right, there's been a point, about an average, about like a 0.4 degrees Celsius increase in the lower troposphere. And their base period is 1991.
No, that's 0.13, Connor, per decade. That's 0.13 per decade.
No, I mean, it's saying right on the graph that in 2016, yeah. Right, which is 0.4.
Well, you're referencing degree, 1 year, but if you go back to the
degrees Celsius, and no, but if you go back to 1970, right, it was around. The temperature was around -0.4, and this is on the graph. I can even put it on Earl's screen so he can see it too, but I mean this. Proves what we're talking. What the like? This is obviously like objectively a problem. Like it's objectively. I think that we should have debate.
Well,
about
I
how
disagree.
To fix the
it depends on
we need
how
to
you
focus on how to
problem.
Fix the problem. But we need to at least agree that the problem exists for us to fix it, because this is going to affect generations beyond you and generations beyond me. And so, just stalling it, right? Even if it is just like an efficiency issue with fossil fuels because of how inefficient and how to produce and how. Fossil fuels and exchanging of fossil fuels has been the precipice of a lot of war throughout history, throughout American history at least. We need to move away from this for political reasons and for environmental reasons, for both at the same time. But we can't do that if we're not on the same page. You know, so.
Guy,
you and I would have to have to disagree about our interpretation of the data on the UAH temperature database.
Guy, and that's the point. The point that Connor just made is really the point that, you know, that we've been fighting and people have been fighting to say that, you know, there are two sides to this coin, and for you and those on the on your side to say that this is not real, it's where we run into the issues. Because when you say it's not real, that's absolutism. And you can't prove that it's absolute. That it has a cause.
Well, let's see. You know, the my response to that would be this. I think what one has to do is to look at the science. And when you look at, if you look at the, again, Connor has got the UAH database graph in front of him. You see global cooling from 1970. You see two things, and I use that graph, of course, in my book. And I said, you can conclude two things about it. The data's variable, and 40 years is too short a time frame to infer a long-term trend. But the thing about it is, how can one justify the hypothesis that CO2 causes global warming when CO2 increased from 1979 to 1998 by the largest increment, and we had global cooling in the troposphere? And so,
but it says on the graph that there's global warming. Like it says,
Connor, let him finish his point.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, we'd be all day today.
Right.
The point here is this: is that even with all of that, you know, I won't get into the concept of measurement margin of error and so forth. But the point here is that it's not been statistically significant. And so, and by the way, you ask about the average temperature of the Earth. There is no average temperature of the Earth. And the reason is that temperature is a proxy for the average kinetic energy of molecules in a system. So trying to average temperature, regardless of the technique, and the IPCC uses a more sophisticated technique than I'm going to describe, but trying to add the temperatures of various locales around the world and divide them by the number of data points and come up with an average is a meaningless analytical concept in science. The Earth has no average temperature. The temperature of the Earth is different at every point in time and space. And so yeah, that's one of the difficulties that climate scientists who promote the global warming hypothesis have, is trying to somehow reconcile the idea that you've got 2 watts per meter squared of downwelling infrared radiation coming back from the CO2 in the atmosphere, and it doesn't. How do you calculate the impact on the Earth's temperature when the temperature of the Earth is different at every point in time and space?
So
there are just a lot of flaws in the scientific process that's used to derive this hypothesis.
So hold on, Guy. Let's go to the phone lines. Dave from Mequon.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good morning, Earl. I agree with your guest on pretty much everything you're saying. I would add this, and people forget this. Most of the records, heat records that have been set in the United States were in the Dust Bowl years in the 1930s. When CO2 levels were much lower. And if you look even further back, go back further in time, Russia back in 1921 and 1922 had a huge drought and ended up killing millions of people. And if you look in 1931, China had a tremendous, huge flood that wiped out hundreds of thousands of people. So the historical point is, and it, like, I remember my grandparents because they were born at the turn of the century, and one of them lived in New York, and they told me about, you know, July in 1911, and there were literally people dying all over the place in New York City. Now, granted, they didn't have air conditioning, but environmentalists are pushing against air conditioning, Well, if you don't have air conditioning, people are going to die of heat. And so I would just add that we have
Dave, hang on. We've got to go to a break. Sure. Guy, can you hang on one more time?
Sure.
All right. Okay. So got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We've got Mr. Guy Mitchell on, and he is the author of Global Warming, The Great Deception. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.